This is the Design Review Commission for 10/22/2020. Please note that the commission hearing room at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, room 2500B, is closed to the public due to COVID-19 pandemic. Under Portland City Code and state law, the Design Commission is holding the meeting electronically. All members of the commission are attending remotely via video and teleconference. Through required public notice, the public is invited to also participate remotely and can provide testimony during today's hearing. The commission is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote social distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, flexibility, and understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the city's business. I now like to begin by introducing the Bureau of Development Services staff. So if you could all please, starting with Laura, can you please introduce yourselves? And I'm trying to get my images here of who's here. And then please pass it along to the next city staff.
Will do. Hi, Laura Duvall, hearings clerk. Brian?
Hi, Brian Tierney, hearings clerk. Hillary?
Hillary Adam, BDS. I think that's it.
Okay, that's it. So then please, the Design Review Commission, so starting with Don, can you please introduce yourselves?
Don Vallister, Design Commissioner. I'm passing it on to Zari.
Zari Santner, Design Commissioner. I pass it to Jessica.
Jessica Molinar, Design Commissioner. I pass it to Chandra.
Chandra Robinson, Design Commissioner. Who else is left?
Me.
Don DiGiordio.
Yeah, I guess it's me, but we also have today as guests members of the Landmark Commission. So if you please introduce yourselves.
I am the Chair of the Landmarks Commission, Kristen Miner.
Commissioner
Ernestina Fuenmayor. Great. And then Sam Rodriguez, also Design Review Commissioner. So with that, I guess it's to you, Hillary.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So we invited
Hillary, I haven't read the whole thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Introductions. Okay. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide a review of new construction and remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members are must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are allowed to participate in the commission discussion they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and it is subject to rebuttal. With that, does anybody have for the following item a conflict of any type?
No, for me.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
No.
I see a lot of no's, so.
A lot of no's, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, Hillary, so apologize for that. So now it's your turn.
Thanks. So we invited a couple of Landmarks commissioners here to discuss the Historic Resources Code Project, which the Planning and Sustainability Commission is hearing next Tuesday at 6 p.m. time certain. You had a briefing on the code project from Brandon Spencer Hartle of BPS, and at that time, some of the design commissioners said that you would like to know more from the Landmarks Commission themselves about any concerns that they have to get a better understanding of that. So that's why we invited them. And so they're here to talk about some of their concerns. And then at the end, if the Design Commission wishes, you can decide to provide testimony to the PSC. on this historic resources code project. You can either do that orally next Tuesday at the hearing. You would have to sign up by Monday to do that, or you can write a letter if you want. If you wrote a letter, it would have to be written over the next week. You'd come back for 5 to 10 minutes next Thursday. We talked about that last time. You could meet at 4:30 to 4:35, adopt the letter, and then I can send that for you. So those are your two options if you want to provide testimony. And with that, I'll just turn it over to Commissioners Minor and Futenmayor.
Fantastic. Thank you so much to the Design Commission for having us. And I know that you did have a briefing. Actually, I do have one item I wanted to mention before I start in on this, and that is happy birthday to Commissioner Rodriguez.
How did you know it was my birthday?
I bet you regret, you know, being friends with me on LinkedIn.
Oh! Well,
yes.
So my birthday present is I get to chair today.
Yes.
Fabulous.
We appreciate it. It's a gift to us, Sam.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, well, that's the ultimate present, right?
Right.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought what I would do, since this item is really just sort of to hear our take on it from the Landmarks Commission's perspective, that we would take a little bit of time first to just sort of outline why this project is important, you know, basically kind of, you know, the things that really rise to the top about problems with the current system. And then just outline, you know, what we perceive as being the major problematic issues, but also the really excellent, you know, the virtues of the proposal on the table. And then hopefully we'll have time for some questions as well, because it's all super complicated. I'm very aware of that. So Ernestina, I'll hand it to you. Maybe you could start with sort of, you know, what we see as, you know, being some of the issues right now.
Yeah, sure. So I'm gonna, this is Commissioner Fuenmayor here. We have written bullet points of what are the main problems of the current system. So number one is that we basically have no local historic registry. There's some individual, at least in mostly to take advantage of the historic incentive review. And we have some conservation districts, but we have very little benefits and no viable procedures to list a district locally. And that has pushed most people interested in any sort of designation or benefits to National Register. So the National Register has no real local process other than the road courtesy review by the Landmarks Review using the National Register criteria, and no other cost than the cost of doing the work. Benefits for incoming producing properties that may want to embark in the rehab work, they can be considerable. We also have a program that has a Historic Resources Inventory, which is the HRI that you guys know, that's been frozen in time since 1984, literally. And so any historic review work done since then, any evaluation of that, what might be historically ineligible and why all have been shelved, actually, because of there is not really a process to add anything to the HRI. The removal from the HRI, on the other hand, is a very simple process. Just writing a letter asking to be removed. And it's important to understand that survey work should be ongoing, is to understand what is out there. That should be the first step to any level of designations. Then, as a third bullet point, will be the conservation districts in Portland, were created in the 1990s. But where defined only as being kind of a less than a historic district, or the National Register of Historic Districts. And then these districts really do not have gained any real protections and have many losses, as we know, for contributing properties over the time. some places more than the other places, depending on where these conservation districts are located. As the commission, we really struggle with that, what the code allows and what the supposed purpose of these districts really is. Then we have a national register that has dominated our idea of what preservation is for decades and has led to problems of overregulation, too much process, and cost even for very minor changes. And because it does not take into account local factors or political will, it has led to misuse and resentment. Example, East Moreland, which tried to gain historic status specifically in order to prevent renters and additional density. National Register favors the area for very high intensity and being eligible, and this means that those areas have been most stable, most wealthy, and the most powerful are often the areas that get nominated. So people tend to think that preservation is white on and it's just about a beautiful mansions, which we know it's not. The state rules also changed in this past year, and the National Register listing in 2017 removed what it was automatic protection around National Register listings, and clarify that the baseline across the state should be form of demolition review. So that's kind of what the protections such as the alteration review, those will be added by some local land use procedures. So doable, but have the codified and how to do that is very hard to understand. And those are kind of mainly the big problems that we in the commission also have to struggle through the years and how to guide the community into these processes. It's up to you now.
Okay. And do any design commissioners have questions so far just about, you know, these sort of current issues that are really driving the HRCP? Okay, not seeing that. So I'm going to start talking, I think, about, I'm going to go ahead and focus in on what we see as being the problematic issues first. I do want to hit also on some of the really positive aspects of this code project, but I guess it's really what I think is sort of four major, they definitely bleed into each other a little bit, but four areas of concern in the current proposal. So the first one is really around that although there are a whole bunch of new processes created so that we can start doing local listings in a real way, as opposed to just relying on National Register, that the barriers to access for those processes make it very difficult to imagine that anybody out there could actually gain, you know, a preservation protection for an area. The code proposal says basically individual listings are relatively easy, and they haven't changed that very much in the code, but it's focused in on district listings in such a way that even though supposedly, you know, there's a process for doing that, it's legislative only. There's a lot more just barriers, you know, for people to sort of enter the system into what's been proposed as this new hierarchy. So I think the first real problem we have is that people who haven't been able to access preservation still won't. The second major issue we have is that the hierarchy that's been proposed is super confusing. We would like to see a hierarchy chart that actually moves National Register out of it entirely. if National Register listings can be reflected within our own city hierarchy chart, then we could have a chart that actually reflects not only a level of protection as you move up the chart, but then also a degree of expected change or desired change. Right now, having National Register have its own separate category, first of all, there's no reason to do that in an individual listing category, but under a district level category, it really doesn't make sense in terms of how much change that district is expected to go through. So we'd like to see National Register be moved into that chart at some level, and I'll get to that in a minute. The third major issue, I think, that we really are trying to hit on is that the conservation district problem really hasn't been solved. So as Ernestina was saying, conservation districts really haven't been defined that well. There's no protections right now. And that is one really great aspect about this code proposal, is that there are new protections in conservation districts. But we also believe that conservation districts really have an opportunity to break free of the National Register system more than they are in this code proposal. We would like to explore some ideas with the PSC around potentially having having three categories of districts, with the lowest category being a very flexible kind of conservation district. You know, maybe it's even sort of an eco district, as our comp plan, you know, suggests. But, you know, there could be all sorts of possibilities about what that looks like. I think what we're suggesting, though, is that it be very flexible, easy to move into, and compatibility is really perhaps less of a concern than it is in, you know, your normal historic district. The other thing is, if we can move National Register districts into our city hierarchy, then we can decide what slot is best for those. And some of the Landmarks Commission ideas around that we want to explore with the PSC would be that perhaps single family districts, or, you know, historic districts with more than some percentage of single family resources, get slotted in at sort of a middle district, whereas those historic districts with, you know, not very many single family resources get slotted in at the local historic district for full protections. So anyway, we'd like to see this chart work better, have more flexibility, and really be reflective of the opportunity that's in front of us. And then finally, the last thing we take issue with is what we really see as being a bit of a punitive treatment of historic districts overall. The PSC is trying to ensure that they have the right to demote or change or remove protections from them, except for, of course, the bottom level of protection, which is a demolition review. And they, you know, they don't really have a way to remove that, because that is given with any National Register listing. But what we'd like to explore with the PSC is the idea that single-family historic districts could be asked to do more against the goals of the comp plan and really to require them to look at ways to increase density, to, you know, perhaps address other goals in the comp plan. And the only way to kind of get those districts on board, I think, is to give them some protections, but also recognize that they are already doing some good things in the comp plan, but they could do more. And so I think it's this sort of attitude towards, you know, single family historic districts that we really would like to explore. And we definitely feel that, you know, we've had very little time to look at this full proposal. It's been about 3 weeks, you know, that we have been given this time. And we haven't worked on this for, it's been at least a year and a half, almost 2 years, I would say. And it's changed a lot in that time. You know, there's a lot of new processes in here. There's a lot of new hierarchy proposed. And there are great things about this that have been a long time coming. But our major push, I think, is to get the PSC to recognize that we need a bit of a pause. We need time to explore ideas that could ultimately be a win-win in terms of the comp plan. So let me briefly hit on some of the really positive points in this proposal, and then we'll see if we can, you know, answer some of your questions. So I think I have, let's see, I think I have four things, and help me out here, Ernestine, if I'm forgetting any of them. But the major things that we are celebrating are, first, the idea that the HRI can become a living document again. In other words, that there's now a process by which surveys can be actually moved into a database of knowledge that we own at the city, and that, you know, potentially some of those resources can be actually moved up into the designation level. Next, that there is a new flexibility of levels that gives an alternate to the National Register. So, you know, we've been frustrated with just working with National Register because it is very inflexible. The criteria are, you know, they tend to really favor architecture. They tend to really be pushing an extremely high level of integrity, you know, and there are other issues. And so we celebrate the idea that there's more flexibility. We are, let's see, oh yes, we are also excited about the idea that conservation districts will no longer, you know, lose so many resources, so many contributing resources, that there is actually going to be a demolition review process. Mm-hmm. We would like to see this, you know, as I mentioned, again, perhaps be broken down into maybe two levels of conservation district, but, you know, that definitely requires a lot of minutiae. It requires a lot of code exploration and workshops, which we're willing to do. But I think right now, conservation districts just, it's not enough to say that we have these new protections. That's a great first step, but I'd also like to look at them in terms of, you know, a more flexible package. Am I forgetting some of the major?
No, I think you're repeating the main
positive on the code. Yeah.
Okay. So I know that sort of puts it in a very general way. We do have a letter that's coming out hopefully Monday. We have to have a meeting to formally adopt it, and then you all will certainly get a copy to look at and really read in a little bit more detail some of those points that I just made. But I really would, be open to any questions you have about the current code or about the proposal or about our lens on this.
And I could just add a comment also. I think the Landmarks Commission is pretty frustrated but not having as much of a, not having the time to have as much of a deep dive and like having work sessions with the PSC, like design commissioners had 3x3 with the DOSA process. So there was a lot of collaboration there, and that hasn't happened with this project, and mostly because of not enough staff to support this project like the DOSA project had. So I think just in terms of common interests, if you guys wanted to provide testimony, I think that that is something that the Landmarks Commission would appreciate, is support for similar collaboration.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Commissioners, questions?
No, yes. I was going to say thanks to Hillary, because that was kind of what I was wondering was, we heard about this last time, and, the question was, do we have comments, would we like to provide testimony, and not having heard from Landmarks Commission and understanding sort of what direction you had given or what changes you wanted to see. I think that's why it was important for us to have you here today. And then Hillary, your clarification, or your, saying that we could testify about, needing more time to work on it. I guess that's the part that it's like, I'm glad to hear you say that, but I also want a little bit more clarification. Like, this is going to City Council to be voted on, is that correct? And then it would just be, it would be ready to go, right? But really, what I'm hearing from Landmarks is that it's not ready. There's more work to be done on it, and it needs more support before it goes to council for vote. Is that right? That was kind of confusing, but
yeah, it's going to the PSC for a hearing on Tuesday, the 27th.
Okay.
And I believe that they're scheduling for maybe 2 work sessions, and then intend to adopt whatever comes out of that and forward it to City Council.
Okay, got it.
So, but Hillary,
just to clarify, those work sessions aren't supposed to include the
right
yeah. commission.
Right. PSC work sessions.
So Hillary, I just have a quick question. If we were going to write a letter, does our letter go, is that a letter to the PSC?
Yeah.
Okay, because that makes more sense than one to, by the time it gets to City Council, it's too late.
Right.
Sorry?
Yes. So what's driving this timeline? I'm assuming that the Landmarks Commission has been very, very clear and vocal about the fact that there are remaining issues that need to be resolved so that you could basically apply these new regulation and codes that fall within your purview. So, and you haven't had the chance to do that. What is there a specific reason for this urgency?
I mean, I couldn't be certain. I do know that the PSC is down a few members, and as you know, it takes time to add people to commissions. And so I think they're anticipating having more members next year. And that sort of introducing them to a new code project in the middle of the process could be difficult. That might be part of it. But other than that, I don't really know, because as far as I know that this isn't supposed to go into effect until next August.
Right. And I have another question is that occasionally there are buildings that requires us to interface with the Landmarks Commission. And I just wanted, Kristen, your opinion in terms of some of these issues that you're raising. To what extent do you think it's something that we need to be aware of and we need to really understand it and in order to make our job easier as well as yours?
Okay, well, in terms of specific land use cases that you might see, you know, we certainly do collaborate with you on occasion, right. And we ask you to, you know, come and collaborate with us sometimes as well. And I think that will continue. We have similar outlooks and focuses in terms of just context and, you know, the Central City Fundamental Guidelines. You know, we use those as well as you. And I see that continuing, but in a broader sense, we definitely see your commission and our commission as having a fairly highly developed urban understanding. And I think where I'm going with this is that when we are seeking historic protections for a place, we are typically doing so out of a desire that that place contributes to a greater good. And I think trying to find that appropriate level, you know, of how much public good is being derived out of that. I don't know if I'm getting really answering your question.
No, you are. And, you know, I think what I was trying to get at is that, you know, we went through the DOZA, and that's not in Central City right now. It's outside. And these historic preservations, especially when you're talking about forming single family historic districts and all of that, there would be an interface between what the new DOZA said and some of these historic preservation requirement. And I don't think we as a commission have had a chance to, you know, compare these, the Historic Landmarks Commission's recommendation against these things to see that, can we, both of us, can we do our job and be consistent with application of those codes and guidelines that would be adopted by City Council. So that's what I was trying to get at. And I do not have any sense right now how this will impact what these recommendations will do to our evaluation of or application of those in the community as a whole. So because we haven't delved into it, we just got one briefing, we haven't paid attention to it. So
I can respond to that. I can't think of anything in the HRCP that would impact the Design Commission's work. Because when something is subject to the historic resource protection overlay, it goes through historic resource review through the Historic Landmarks Commission, not the Design Commission. I'm trying to think of parallels, but I honestly can't
think
of any other than how disparate the process has been.
Okay. Well, but I do remember in a couple of cases, I think maybe the buildings, like half of them were in historic area and half was under our jurisdictions. But I do remember in a couple of cases where we collaborated on doing that. So,
yeah, those were one instance was the art museum where there was a joint design advice request.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such an important institution. That we felt that a public realm response was really important. So we wanted to have Design Commission input on it, even though they weren't a decision maker. And then there were also a couple of land use cases that involved older buildings that were listed on the historic resources inventory, but weren't landmarked.
Uh-huh.
So I know that there was concern about the potential for alterations that could affect a potential landmark designation for on those buildings. So that's where the Design Commission sought Landmarks Commission input.
I see. Okay.
But it's not codified,
mm-hmm.
that relationship.
Yeah. Kristen, real quick. So a letter from us, you know, it seems like we're, you know, too close to the, the deadlines are so coming so quickly that I don't know what the value is of it, but of course we're willing to do that. Well, what would you like in that letter? I mean, to be honest, I don't feel I know enough your description. I don't know enough of what's going on and what are the consequences of what's actually getting approved, what is not. It seems like awfully rushed. It seems like in the middle of a pandemic, this thing should be probably tabled and, you know, let's talk about it a little later, but I don't know if that's in the cards. I mean, I think the fact that there's new commissioners at the Planning and Sustainability coming in the future is probably the worst excuse. So if that's the reason, the worst reason to not do this properly. So I don't know what you would like from what would you like us to do?
Honestly, that's our biggest ask, is to give us a pause and let us participate, you know, and I think that's only fair. You would, I'm sure, feel very strongly if they moved forward with code affecting what you do without really, involving you.
Absolutely. So, I mean, commission, my assumption is everybody's in agreement that we should write something and should put it in front of planning and sustainability as quickly as possible. Who wants to volunteer?
So you could provide that testimony orally on Tuesday. I mean, a letter would be great if, you know, a majority of you wanted to show up next Thursday and say, I bless this letter, and maybe some email responses for people that can't make Thursday and say, that letter looks great, submit it. But oral testimony in front of them next Tuesday, I think would be pretty powerful as well.
I'm happy to try. I don't know what the schedule is. What time is their hearing? It's in the evening, right?
It starts at 6.
Yeah, so that's an easy one to make. Well, I don't know, Hillary, if you could send whatever the invitation is these days for this hearing to the older commissioners, that would be great. Does someone want to write a letter, or Hillary, can you start a letter and we can circulate it around?
Sure.
Just, I mean, you kind of got the gist that, go ahead, Sari.
Well, the whole thing needs to be to talk about that the Planning and Sustainability Bureau has a great model for how to do revisions to existing regulation. And that's the DOSA, the process, articulating how that worked and how this process lacks that, from our perspective, would be very, very strong, because it demonstrates that it can be done. They have done it. It's been successful. There are issues remaining with this, and the time limitation should not stop the commission from pausing this and taking a more collaborative approach. I think that should be the essence of our letter and our testimony. Does that make sense, Kristen?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I appreciate that, yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that's what we've been discussing. So I was just going to suggest, I mean, I to be honest, I don't have time to sit down and write a letter from here to Tuesday, but I mean, I'm sure, I mean, I see Jessica saying, no way, I'm not doing it either right now.
Well, so, if Hillary, you can, based on what we articulated here, if you could create that outline and we would flesh it in, we'll be happy to do that.
Great. Yeah,
so that's what I was suggesting. So Hillary, if you could write something based on that, and then we can circulate it around in the commission, kind of maybe, you know, do some editing here and there around the edges.
Send it to send all edits to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Reply all.
Right. And send it send it to the committee, to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and then I'll try to go testify also, and maybe I'll read it into the record if you want. I can read the letter into the record and that would be great.
That would be fantastic.
Yes.
Do that. And then if anybody else in the commission wants to participate and just say, you know, same here, you know, maybe we can give it a little weight.
Right. Well, send the invitation to all of us. I know I can't do it next Tuesday at 6. I have another one, so I'm sorry. But send it to all of us, just in case.
And then, Sam, if you were to read the letter on Tuesday, you would have to clarify that it's a draft letter and the final letter will be submitted.
Yes.
On the 29th.
Yep.
Okay, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for letting us come and take up some of your time.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank you.
You Landmarks Commissioners can come back anytime.
Yes.
Anytime.
It's good to see you all.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
With that, I think we'll get a 5-minute break.
Yeah, Sam, let's do that. I want to make sure you get a chance to get the revision to the timing and the order. I did a little stuff behind the scenes and got in touch with the applicant and the appellant for the next case.
Okay,
so that's in your email. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so why don't we...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So I have 3:50 here. So is commissioners about 5 minutes? We'll start it up at 3:55. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, great. We'll come back in about 5 minutes.